choose. If I were to ask you, and let's say, let's expand that, not just shoes, but boots or anything other than socks that you might put on your feet. In general, how many pair of shoes do each of you own? You probably wouldn't really be able to answer that, right? Because you have shoes for this, you have shoes for that, you have boots, you have this, you have slippers, you have all these things that we put on our feet. Chances are the shoes that you have on today are not the same shoes that you'd probably work in the garden with. Unless you're a man, then you sometimes we wear our Sunday best to work in the garden because we sometimes do foolish things like that. But anyway, you couldn't likely answer that because you'd have to go through the list. Okay, I've got this, and I've got that for Sunday, and I've got this for this job, and I got that, and all those things. But like I said, we all have these different shoes or boots that we put on our feet depending upon the job that we are doing or the places that we are going. And so, for example, I just, a few weeks ago, bought a pair of new steel-toed shoes. I've never owned steel-toed boots in my life. I've never needed them, but I needed them now. And why did I buy them? I needed them to prepare my toes from being crushed, or basically ready my feet for something to unfortunately fall on them, or whatever the case may be. Dancers, athletes, all buy different shoes to perform their craft, right? Dancers have to buy tap shoes and ballet shoes and all these kind of different shoes, and athletes buy tennis shoes and spike shoes and whatever the case may be, and of course the list goes on, and hockey players and so on and so forth. Basically, we put something different on our feet to get them ready for whatever it is that we may be engaging in. Golf shoes? Yes, that would be athlete. Preparing for retirement. Not there yet. Our text this morning and the basis of our message this morning is exactly that, or talks about exactly that, making sure our feet are ready. I'm like, really? We're going to talk about feet this morning? We are. We're going to talk about feet. Why? Because Scripture talks about feet. And he talks about it as a very, one of the steps and very important steps in preparing for spiritual warfare. Now, again, our text is Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. This time we're going to read through verse 15. We're adding a verse today. And it says this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of the evil in the heavenly realms." Verse 13, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place," and in verse 15, "and with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." With your feet fitted with readiness for the gospel, or from the gospel of peace. 2 weeks ago, we talked about really the foundational part of the armor was buckling on the belt of truth. In order to fight spiritual warfare, we have to understand truth. If we don't understand truth, then none of the rest of it even makes any sense. And then after that, last week we talked about the breastplate of righteousness and how our righteousness comes from Jesus. It doesn't come from trying harder or working harder or running faster. It simply comes from Jesus Christ. And now we get to this part of the text where it talks about our feet in preparing our feet or readying our feet. See, as we gear up for war and put on the full armor that God has provided us with, new shoes are an essential part as we prepare for the battle. Taking a stand against the devil's schemes when the day of evil comes and standing firm and standing our ground will only work. It will only work if we've laced up what the text calls the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. And I'm telling you, the gospel of peace seems to be one that has been lost in our world right now. The gospel of peace and the gospel of war is what seems to be reigning right now. The text says that we need to strap on shoes and prepare ourselves for a gospel of peace. They prepare us for all kinds of new adventures. The first thing that I want to talk about this morning is this. The first of all, these shoes go on, or these shoes get strapped onto feet that are ready for action. When a track runner, I don't know if you know anybody that runs track, gets ready to run a sprint, he or she will put on their track shoes. And oftentimes these track shoes for sprinters are like spikes, right? So they put on these, and you see them on the track, and they're kind of waving their arms and kicking their feet around to loosen up a little bit, right? But then just before that, they bend over, and they put one foot on the starting block, and they take the next one and dig it into the track. They put one foot up against the starting block, dig it in the track. Basically, what are they doing? They are getting their feet ready for the race that has been put before them. The special shoes. And they put those special shoes on their feet, and then they dig them in, and they're preparing their feet for the sound of the gun. And if you know anything about sprints, the start is really the crucial part of it. If you don't get off the blocks fast, there's simply almost no way that you're going to win. When the announcers talk about it, that's what they talk about, is coming off the blocks strong. And if your feet aren't prepared and you don't have them prepared properly, you're not going to come off strong, and you're not likely to win. When God calls us to run this race we call Christianity, and we accept the Holy Spirit's calling, saved by the precious blood of His Son, He expects us to put on these new shoes. And these new shoes that describes as the gospel of peace. So when we accept the atoning sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ, and we enter into a relationship with Him, essentially we are saying, we are agreeing to put on these new shoes and enter into this gospel of peace. Like the runner spikes, these shoes are designed with a very specific purpose. And God has made us ready for this purpose through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus, and the sanctifying of God's Spirit. He has prepared our feet for this race. The purpose is to run with the gospel of peace into a lost world. That right there is what it is. That's what it boils down to. It is for us to run with the gospel of peace into a lost world. Have you ever known anybody that's trying to engage in a lost world with a gospel other than peace? It doesn't usually go well. It's not usually received well, and people generally shut down. God's word says that this world is at war with God and hostile towards Him. That's what God's word says, is that the world is at war with God and is hostile towards God. Paul writes to the Colossians and reminds them, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. The truth of the matter is, before we were saved, we were also an enemy of God. The text is very clear. It says that in Colossians 1:21. He also reminded the church of Rome, in Romans 8:7-8, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile towards God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Bottom line is, if we are living in the flesh, we do not have the capacity or the ability to please God. The decision of where our feet will go is always determined by our mind. Our feet go where our mind determines them to go, right? So whatever we have up here is where our feet are going to go. And before we are redeemed by the blood of Christ and filled with the Spirit, our minds view God as a weigher of scales. Basically, good on one side, bad on the other. You know, we want to do what is right, but sometimes we can't. But oftentimes we don't want to do what's right. Oftentimes we just want to do what we want to do. We want to do it at our own time and in our own way. Our sinful rebellion simply thinks, I don't want anyone to tell me what I have to do. We don't like to be told what to do. I want to live life on my own terms. And sometimes we think, I hope I do good enough to tip the scales this way. Sometimes I think, all we want to do is live a little more goodness than we do evil so that the scales are kind of tipped in our favor. And sometimes we'll even compare our lives to others to make it feel like the scales are tipped in our favor. Well, I know that I don't live a perfect life, but I mean, compared to so-and-so over here, I'm doing pretty well. I know that I mess up in my Christian walk, but compared to so-and-so, I'm doing pretty well. That's a very dangerous way to think. See, God has no desire whatsoever to be our enemy. But sometimes I think people think that they're in this war against God. He doesn't desire to be our enemy. But sometimes we think of him as someone who is a punisher of bad and the rewarder of good. And maybe you feel that way because you've had some hard times in your life. Maybe right now you are experiencing some hard times in your life. And you're thinking, if God really loved me, if he really loved me, then he would not have let that happen. And this is a mindset that comes from those times in our lives when we are struggling and we feel like God is far from us. And we think to ourselves, man, is God really punishing me for something? So we tend at times to keep him at a distance. We might tip our hat to him once in a while. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for that. Just kind of give him a little tip of our hat. But then we find that when we do that, it's only out of fear. But fear leads to alienation, and eventually it will lead to hostility. So we put worldly shoes on our feet, and we walk in our own will. And when we put worldly shoes on our feet, we not only walk in our will, we walk in places that we should not walk. We put on worldly shoes on our feet, and we walk into relationships that we should not walk into. We put on worldly shoes on our feet and we walk in the flesh. But those who live in this realm can never, as the scripture says, please God. Ever. And before you're too quick to judge, you've all put on those worldly shoes a time or two. And you've all walked according to your own will. And you've all walked in relationships that you probably shouldn't have not walked into, and walked in the flesh when you shouldn't have walked in the flesh. And the truth be known, there's some that are probably still doing that even today. Some of us are probably wearing worldly shoes even today. Only the Spirit can stop us in our walking away from God. It's only the Spirit of God that can stop us from walking away from God. See, Jesus told a group of people who had the same alienation and hostility to God these words, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day." So how does God draw us? How does God introduce himself to an alienated and hostile enemy? How does he do that? Jesus says he does it through the Holy Spirit. Listen to the gifts he promises to be sent after his death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension back to heaven. This is what it says in John chapter 16, starting in verse 8. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt and in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in him. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. In regard to judgment, because the prince of the world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. What a powerful promise that is. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to my Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. What a gift the Spirit of God is to us. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit, the text says is very clear, is to convict us of sin. It is to cut deeply into our calloused heart. And then, not only, this is the beauty of the Spirit. Not only does it cut into our calloused heart, but then it points us to the answer. It just doesn't leave us in a state of despair. It doesn't just point out our sin, but then it points us to the answer. It points us then to Jesus. It doesn't just leave us in a spirit of guilt, in the spirit of a crushed with a crushed spirit, it points us to Jesus. He combats the lies of evil, one by revealing his eternal truth. And when this occurs, you and I have one of two choices. We either believe it and accept it, or we reject it. And it's up to us to decide. God does not make us reject it. God does not make us receive it. The first action of those who really accept the truth, we know, is to be a spirit of repentance. At the root of the word repentance means a change in direction, to turn around. I really feel like oftentimes we say, I'm sorry, God. Please forgive me, God. But true repentance doesn't take place. Why? Because we don't change direction. We say, I'm sorry, God, please forgive me, God, as we're continuing down the same path, doing the same things, asking for forgiveness for the exact same things over and over and over again. That's not repentance. Repentance, at its very core, means a change in direction. It means putting on new shoes and walking in a different way. And if you are walking in one direction and something or someone makes you stop and you decide to turn around and head in another direction, it's a change of heart and mind. And that's what God desires of us. When the Holy Spirit convicts us to repent, he's asking for a really real, or a very real decision. A decision that requires our past sins. In a decision that requires us to think about our future life, and one that is dealt with at the cross. Through a union with his death, burial, and resurrection, not only will we put on new shoes, but he'll give us beautiful new feet. The cutting of our hearts through the Holy Spirit is the catalyst for repentance. Because I'm telling you, if the Holy Spirit didn't cut through our callous hearts, we wouldn't be convicted of sin, and this whole idea of repentance would probably be far from us. And baptism is the action that unites us with Jesus' death, burial, and the resurrection. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is the only way that we can rise to walk in this newness of life. So the first principle I talked about was that we put these shoes on feet that are ready for action. The second principle I want to talk about this morning is this, that those shoes are put on beautiful new feet. Now I have to be honest, I don't love my feet. They're a bit on the small side. I wear a size 8 for most, which for somebody my age is pretty small. The bigger problem is I have a really high arch and a very wide foot. And it oftentimes makes finding comfortable shoes really, really hard. And it bugs me. I don't dwell on it. I don't say, Lord, why these feet? But I don't love my feet. I can't even put on a pair of Nikes. I mean, forget about it. Nikes, I think they're about this wide. I've tried and tried and tried to find a pair of Nikes, and they just won't work. So I have to go and buy certain shoes that are wide fit with high arches. And then I have to buy these certain inserts just to make it. It's really kind of a pain. But our feet don't become beautiful. But our feet don't become beautiful in Christ because of how they look, right? Good thing. They become beautiful when they bring the good news of Jesus Christ to people. That's what makes our feet beautiful. Someone once said, and I don't remember the author, the most amazing feet are those who have been through hell and turn around with buckets of water to rescue those who are still caught there. Peter, in his sermon at Pentecost, quotes from the prophet Joel and says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And in chapter 10 of Romans, the apostle Paul wrote, interestingly, pretty much the exact same thing when he said, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." But he then went on to say this, "How can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not yet heard? Because faith comes through hearing the message of Christ." After we've put on the belt of truth, and after we've covered our breast with the righteousness of Christ, our feet are then made ready to do what God has saved us to do. And I'm here to tell you, God didn't just save us so that we can get to heaven. God has saved us to do something else, and that is to take the gospel of peace to our world. How well are we doing at that? We are to be ready. We are to be fitted with readiness, because the God who made us ready is creating some divine encounters for us. Do you believe that? That God is preparing us for some divine encounters. In her book called Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World, Becky Pippert writes this: "Jesus wants us to be very aware that the neighbor next door or the person sitting next to us on the plane or the student next to us in the classroom are not interruptions to our schedule. They are there by divine appointment. Jesus has called us to see their needs, their longings, their loneliness, not as interruptions, but as opportunities to share the gospel of peace. The same gospel that someone shared with you." But how often do we see those as aggravations, annoyances, and interruptions? I don't have time for this annoying thing today. I don't have time for this annoying person in my life today. I've got someplace to be, and you are just an interruption in my schedule, and I don't have time for it today. It seems like that is the mindset more than, wow, maybe God has put you in my life today to minister to you, to bring you some hope, to bring you some peace, to bring you some joy today. as I said, if you think about it, somebody at some point in their life didn't see you as an interruption in their life. They saw you as an opportunity to share the gospel of peace with you. And at some point in your life, you submitted to it. Romans 10:15 says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." If you are trapped in a war zone, there's no peace there. There's only enemy fire and death all around you. And someone ran to your rescue and said, "I will lead you out of here. I've got a map to safety and security." How beautiful would that person's feet be to you in that moment? If you were caught in war, in amongst enemy fire, and somebody came up to you and said, "I've got a map to get you out of here safely," you would see their feet as something beautiful, and you would say, okay. God is calling us and preparing us to be that person. He is calling us to walk into the middle of somebody's war zone and say, "I have the map to get you out of here." God desires, He has prepared our feet. After we have buckled on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, we put on these new shoes, on feet that are ready, and we walk into the war zone and we offer the gospel of peace to those who need it. Or at least that's what we ought to be doing. My prayer is that for each of us, that we are ready to have beautiful feet this week. That when we leave from this place, that we will strap on shoes, on feet that are ready to walk into somebody's war zone, to walk into somebody's mess, to walk into somebody's chaos and say, "You know what? I have the way out for you. I know the way out for you. Come and follow me, and I will point you in the direction you need to go to leave this war zone." As we prepare to leave the building in just a few moments, with the truth of God's word and the breastplate of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, may our feet be prepared to be rescuers for those caught in a war zone. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for your armor. Lord, we thank you that we know or can know the truth, the real truth of your word. And Lord, we thank you that by the atoning sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we can experience righteousness and we can strap on that righteousness. And Lord, this morning I pray that we would be willing to put on our new shoes and put them on the feet that you have readied, or made ready, to be able to walk into somebody's war zone and offer them the gospel of peace and say to them, "I have the roadmap to free you from this despair, to free you from this evil, to free you from this war that you are in." Lord, I pray that as we prepare to leave from this place, that that would be the desires of each of our hearts. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. You see, as I said, that's exactly what Jesus died for. He didn't die just so that we can get to heaven. That was a very small part of it. What he said is, "Take the gift that I have